This isn't meant to be an academic presentation of the texts, and but it's more to do with the practice. And the instruction and practice is more like a series of thrusts which we receive from a teacher or somebody who's experienced. And one or two of them may register on us, and then we expect it to react constructively to it. Now, so it's making a few points with vivid examples, what's called in Sanskrit drishtanta, the visible example. When you present in the Indian logic, which is very old, when you present something, you present the principle and you present the conclusion, and then you present an instance of it from daily life. For instance, where there is smoke, there is fire. To demonstrate that, you say, well, fiery things, smoke. Then the drishtanta is as in a kitchen. That's to say, you're given something definite from daily life. It anchors the reasoning to daily life by showing that such things occur and are accepted in our ordinary life. And it's not simply an abstract situation which doesn't occur. One of the first things is this. The Supreme Self is to be meditated upon and realized as the Self, not the God which the people worship. We tend to worship something which is distant from ourselves, and that's because we're not really sure whether it's there or not. As my teacher once said, people say God, but it's only a name that they use when they happen to drop something. Oh, God! And then it's forgotten. Now, people feel, well, if there's God, one ought to be able to see a tiny little finger now and then intervening in affairs, shouldn't one? If there's a God who is interested and takes part in our world, as we're told. Now, one has to think carefully about this. Where is this God? Whenever we look at something and we analyze it carefully in detail, we don't find a God. It's true, people like Einstein were, well, semi-mystical. But in his book on relativity, which of course no one would actually read, Einstein's own book, there's nothing about God in that. What is the evidence that there is a God? Oh, we can say, well, there's a design in the universe. Oh, but whether there's a design or not, it's a question of opinion. Now, in completely materialistic books like Dawkins, The Selfish Gene, and The River of Time, he uses phrases like in the embryo, the development is orchestrated. And they use these words unwittingly, without realizing what they're saying. Orchestrated. Now, if we hear an orchestra, now this is the Valkyrie. It's the conductor is Tennenstedt. But if you listen to this music minutely, you will never hear Tennenstedt. You will hear the violins, all of whom can be named, in that especially the violins, There are harps there. The harpists can all be named. They all have a specific sound which they're making, which is on the score. But you will never hear the conductor. And yet, it's the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. Every one of them could be named, listed, and if you look at the score, you could find out exactly what the man, if he's a flute, well, Wagner has a bass flute even. You can hear what the bass flute is playing and identify it, and the man. But you cannot hear the conductor. Now, lots of people think that an orchestra could play without a conductor. He does nothing, after all. He just gives the tempo, and if you had Böhm playing the same music, it'd be a bit slower, I suppose, but it wouldn't be much different. What does the conductor do? You never find him here in the music. You can't hear him. But if you've ever played in an orchestra, you know what a conductor does. You've got, supposing you're playing the Glockenspiel or something like that. You've got 28 bars rest. And you're counting them. One, two, three, four. Then the music slips or something and you go, oh, was I four or five? Six, seven. You listen to what the others are playing, but you can't remember what corresponded to bar seven. You think, supposing I come in a bar too soon, or a bar too late, what am I going to do? You try to listen to the music, think, where do I come in? Where do I come in? And if you're about 15, you start sweating like mad. And then, well, you're still counting, but you're not sure whether you're one out. You're coming in after 28 bars rest. About bar 26, the conductor looks at you, and then he brings you in. That's what the conductor's for. He holds the orchestra together. And if he wasn't holding the orchestra together, it would soon run wild. People would miss their cues. Well, the Glockenspiel might not matter so much, but if some of the others, the trumpets, start making a false entry, well then, it'll collapse. Now,